The series, the study this month has been on the coming king, the coming king, and the subtitle is Simeon. The subtitle is Simeon. Okay, well, let's talk a little about Christmas tonight. A lot of people in this world, non-believers, non-followers of Christ, have their ideas of what Christmas is all about, right? You know, people in the world think that Christmas is just about exchanging gifts. You know, there's other people out there that think that Christmas is about relaxation. Just spending time with family and friends, you know, traveling the highways and just having a good time. But we as believers in Jesus Christ know what the true reason for the Christmas season is, right? We just celebrated it 3 days ago. And the reason for the Christmas season is the celebration of the birth of Jesus into this world over 2,000 years ago. Christmas is a birthday celebration for Jesus. Did you say amen?
Amen?
Never get it wrong. If anybody ever asks you, what is Christmas all about? You tell them it's about Jesus. He is the reason for the season, all right? Tonight's message comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 35. Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 35. And it says this in verse 21. If you got a Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'll read it to you. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, verse 25. Here's the key. He was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own too. Now, Simeon was a devout and righteous man. What was he waiting for? The Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he was moved by the Holy Spirit, and he went into the temple courts, and the parents of Jesus brought in the child to do for him what the custom of the law required. And Simeon took the baby Jesus in his arms, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace. That's good, isn't it? He was waiting to see Jesus. And he saw Jesus. And then after he saw Jesus, he was ready to die and go to heaven. That's good, isn't it? And Jesus came to this earth as a baby 2,000 years ago to fulfill his ultimate mission. What was the ultimate mission of Jesus? From age 30 to 33, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. But his ultimate mission was what? His ultimate mission was to go to the cross, to die for our sins. God, in his mercy, knew that we as human beings could not pay for our own sins. So he sent Jesus Christ. Now we're going to go back to the Garden of Eden here for just a moment. The Garden of Eden. When God created man, he said to Adam in Genesis chapter 2, he said, you can eat of any tree in the garden, right? He said, but the tree I do not want you eating of is the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. So he said, you can eat of any tree, but just do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so Satan comes to the woman, the serpent, and he tempts her. And he says in Genesis 3, verse 1, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said, we may, but God said you must not eat from the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will surely die. And the enemy, the serpent, says, you won't die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And the woman was tempted, and what did she do? He tempted her, and she fell for the temptation. She ate of the forbidden fruits. And then she gave some to her husband. And at that point, sin entered the world. Now, what is sin? If you read later on in Genesis chapter 3, you find that Adam and Eve, as a result of eating the forbidden fruit, they were dismissed from the Garden of Eden. And the Garden of Eden represented fellowship with God. It represented relationship with God. It represented intimacy with God. It represented the presence of God. And they were dismissed from Eden, from the presence of God, from relationship with God. There was now a separation between humanity and a holy God. And that's what sin is. Sin is separation between people and God. And that sin nature was passed down from generation to generation. But God was longing for relationship with the humanity He created. And He knew that the only way He could have relationship with us is if someone came to pay for our sins. In His mercy, He realized that no human being could pay for their sins. So He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into this world 2,000 years ago to pay for our sins. He died upon the cross, and the cross was the bridge between what? Was the bridge between sinful humanity and a holy God. Amen? You know, if you walk over any bridge, what does a bridge do in the natural? You know, a man-made bridge. It does what? It connects two pieces of land, right? All right. The bridge at 21st and Riverside, what does it do? Here at 21st and Riverside. It connects what pieces of land? The piece of land west of the river to the piece of land on the east of the river. Right? And that's what Jesus did on the cross. He connected us back to God. He bridged the great divide between man, sinful humanity, and a holy God. And by faith in Jesus, we can walk across that bridge and have relationship with God. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? That's why Jesus came as a baby born in a manger. That's why He grew up to be 33 years old. He grew up to fulfill the ultimate mission of dying upon the cross. And what does He say? Let's go back to Luke chapter 2. What does Simeon say about Jesus? What did he say? He said this. He said, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. That's what Jesus was. Jesus was Yeshua. Jesus was salvation. It's what I just talked about. He died upon the cross to provide salvation for humankind. We were destined for a lost eternity, eternally separated from God. But Jesus came that we could be reconciled, that we could have peace with God again, that we could be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell and saved from sin's grip. And he says this, he says, you know, Jesus is a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. You know that without Jesus in your life, without having placed Jesus in your life, you're living in spiritual darkness. And if you die without Jesus in your life, you enter eternal darkness forever. I don't want to be there. How about you? Without Jesus in your life, without faith in Christ, you're living in spiritual darkness, which will end in eternal darkness. But Jesus said what in John 8:12? Jesus said, I am what? Jesus said, I am what? He said, I am the light of the world. John chapter 8, verse 12. Let me read it to you. One second here. I'll get right to it. John 8, verse 12. If you're living in darkness, Jesus is the light. Jesus, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Friend, you may be in darkness today. In your spirit, in your mind, you might be walking around in darkness. And the reason for your darkness today could be that you don't have relationship with Jesus Christ. He wants relationship with you. He is the light of the world. Once he enters your life, he brings light and revelation to your spirit. Behold, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Is that good news? If you're dark in your mind, if there's darkness in your mind tonight, Jesus wants to be light to your mind. He wants to clarify your thinking. He wants to light up the dark places in your mind tonight. No psychologist, no psychiatrist can do it. There's only one that can do it, and it's the light of the world, Jesus Christ, who can heal your mind. Amen? Because he is the light of the world. And Isaiah prophesies this in Isaiah 49, verse 6. Now, Simeon, we read about Simeon, right, in Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 35. What was Simeon waiting for? He was waiting for the Lord's Christ, the consolation of Israel. And he got to hold Jesus, baby Jesus, in his arms. And then he said, God, now you can dismiss your servant in peace. And I'm here to tell you tonight that the Jesus who came as a babe 2,000 years ago and lived on this earth for 33 years is the same Jesus who is coming again to take back his church. Acts 1, verse 11. Acts 1, 11. Acts 1, 11 says this. After Jesus was taken to heaven, an angel said this. Two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. He said the same Jesus who was ascended back into heaven is the same Jesus who will come back in the same way that you saw him ascend. I'm here to tell you tonight, friend, that Jesus is the soon coming King. Simeon was waiting for him, and Simeon saw him. He came to Simeon. And I'm here to tell you today that he's coming again. He is going to split the eastern sky. He's going to appear in the sky, and he is going to take his church back with him into the heavenlies. That's good news. Amen? Jesus is coming again. Don't let anyone or anything or any teacher or any doubt in your mind tell you differently. Jesus is coming to this earth again to rapture, to take back to himself his church. Amen? God is good, isn't he? Paul writes a bit about this in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. To verse 18. Talks about the second coming of the Lord. Simeon saw him on the first coming, right? We are going to see him at the second coming. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 13. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, those who die, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Jesus is coming with a loud command, the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet call of God. When you hear that mighty trumpet blowing, Jesus is coming. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Those who have died, when Jesus comes a second time, those who have died will go before us. And then we will be caught up to meet Jesus in the air. I'm here to ask you tonight, are you going to be one of the ones that's caught up with the church, raptured, or, God forbid, will you be left behind? I don't want to be one of the ones that is left behind. How about you? There's only one way to guarantee that you will be caught up with the church. How's that? What's the one guarantee that you will be caught up in the air to meet Jesus when he comes again? That Jesus, who came as a baby 2,000 years ago, is coming again. The only way that you're going to meet him in the air is what? Is by making this Jesus your Savior and your Lord. Jesus wants to be more than just Savior. Yes, he's here to save you from your sins. He's here to save you from hell. But he also wants to be your Lord. He wants to be Savior. You might have said in the past, Jesus, be my Savior. And that's fine. But that's not going to get you to heaven. There's only one thing that will. Beyond Savior. It's making him Lord. What does Lord mean? What does Lord mean? Lord means master. It means ruler. It means the one in full control of every part of your life. Who's in control of your life right now? Is it Jesus or is it you? If it's you, guess what? Jesus wants to be in control of your life. You know, if you work for a boss 8 hours a day and he pays you $8 an hour and he tells you to come in at 8 o'clock in the morning, you're like, yes, sir, right? If he tells you to work until 5, you're like, yes, sir, I'll work till 5:15. If he tells you to jump, you'll say, how high? Because he's your boss, right? Guess who wants to be the big boss in your life? Guess who wants to be the big boss in your life? Your Lord, your ruler. Your boss, not for 8 hours a day. He wants to be your boss 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And his name is Jesus Christ. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be the boss, the ruler of every part of your life. Could you say amen to that? You might be resisting tonight, friends, but guess what? Don't resist that. Make Jesus Lord. It takes humility. It takes humility to make Jesus your Lord. Say it with me. It takes humility to make Jesus my Lord, the big boss of every part of my life. In Jesus' name. Friends, it's not going to happen immediately, but as time goes on in your walk with Christ, you've got to start giving parts of your life to Jesus. Your mind. You can either submit your mind to the way the world thinks. How does the world think? Me, myself, and I, right? Or you can submit your mind to the Lordship of Jesus. How can I step out of myself and serve others, right? You've got to give Jesus your body. How does the world say to operate with your body? If you're submitting to the world's way of operating with your body, what do? If it feels good, do it. You got it. You know, sleep with anybody, even if it's not your spouse. You know, sleep with anybody who's not your spouse. That's the world's way of thinking. If the alcohol tastes good, just get drunk. If the drugs make you feel high for a moment, keep getting high. But if you're submitting to the Lordship of Jesus, what does Jesus say to do? Jesus says, stay away from the drugs, right? He says, stay away from getting drunk. He says, stay away from sleeping with somebody who is not your spouse, right? Because your body as a believer in Jesus Christ, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Your body is God's temple. Do with it what is holy. Do with it what Jesus tells you to do in his word. Amen? That's making Jesus Lord over your body. You can make Jesus Lord over your spirit. The world says what to do what with your spirit? The world says, in your spirit, get bitter against your offenders. Go to palm readers, fortune tellers, you know, astrologers. But what does God's word say? God's word says, if Jesus is your Lord, guess what? You're not going to get bitter, you're going to get better. You're going to forgive your offenders, right? If Jesus is your Lord, you're not going to be going to palm readers. Who are you going to be going to learn about your future? The Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, amen? So start doing what is holy with your spirit. Not as the world says, but as God says in his word. Amen?